Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to First Congregational Church here in Westfield. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. You are here on a special day. If you haven't heard, today's sermon is Ask the Pastor. So during the announcements, if you did not get a card, there are some index cards right here on the table and some writing utensils. If you have not turned in your question yet, just before we start, you can raise your card and I'll come and get it. It'll be a little informal, but we'll take care of that. Here's a couple of things that I think you need to know. First, we need to hear from Ray.
Good morning. Your World Service Committee has requests from Franklin Avenue School. They're in need of tissues, the large boxes, wipes, and glow sticks. The box is back in the annex. If you can drop things off there, and I will deliver them whenever they're put in that box. Thank you.
Amy?
Good morning. Next Saturday is the church school summer pool party hosted by Miss Lisa Green, so thank you very much to her. It is Saturday. It starts at 1 o'clock. I put a couple of flyers outside my office if anybody needs to grab one. It is open to any youth in the church. Food and drinks will be provided. You just need to bring your swimming bathing suit. You don't have to swim, so if anybody just wants to come and enjoy the nice backyard. And any questions, contact Dan.
I would like everyone at some point today, if you're going to come off the hour, which everyone's invited to at the conclusion of the service, but what I'd like you to do is to poke your head into the kitchen. Our friends from Peppermill Catering moved out this week, and they bought their own building, and our kitchen is ours. You may see a few people floating around because they didn't pay their rent till the end of the month, but our kitchen, I've never seen it look like this. So take a look at the kitchen. It's amazing. Sunday, September 15th, are we having church here?
No.
Where are we going?
Stanley Park.
Yes, we're going to Stanley Park. At what time?
10:30.
All right, that was the trick question. Not everybody knew that. So on Sunday, September 15th, we will be at Stanley Park. We were going to have some sign-ups today. Cindy isn't here for two reasons. Number one, her fourth grandchild was born on Friday. Yay, and today's her birthday. So Cindy is not here, but she'll be around. In the next two Sundays, you will have an opportunity to sign up for setup, or whatever else she and Barb figured out that we need to have sign-ups for. So we will take care of that in the next 2 weeks. Next Sunday, the Reverend Robert Donaldson will be here as our guest minister. And after that, our friend Reverend Randy Ivanin will be here on September 1st. We will move communion to September 8th. I start thinking you're going to hear the peeling out of tires after church in South. That's me going to Maine. So anyway, I'll see you after Labor Day. Are there any other announcements today? Hearing none. Everyone, I invite you to take a deep breath in. Exhale. And let us worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship as found in your worship guide. Come, give thanks to the Lord with all your heart and soul.
We come, rejoicing over God's many blessings poured out upon us.
God's works are great.
We delight in learning about God.
Respect for God and all that God offers to us is the beginning of wisdom.
and the prayer of invocation is found in your worship guide. Together we pray, Lord of life and hope, we gather this day seeking nourishment for our souls and healing for our spirits. Give to us your living bread, that having been nourished in soul and spirit, we may be witnesses to your transforming love. Through the ministry and mission of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, we offer this prayer and call upon you as our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of ours. You may be seated as we turn our attention to the Word of God.
A reading from the first book of Kings. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and offered incense at the high place. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice them, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings at that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give to you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept him his great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go in or come out. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people so numerous that cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this great people of yours?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked for this, and not asked for yourself a long life, or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself an understanding mind to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has ever been before you, and no one shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked for, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare to you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in a responsive reading of Psalm 11. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the assembly of the upright and the congregation.
Great are the deeds of the Lord, and they are studied by all who delight in him.
O Lord, your work is full of majesty and splendor, and your righteousness endures forever.
You make your marvelous works to be remembered. You are gracious and full of compassion.
You give food to those who fear you. You are ever mindful of your covenant.
You have shown your people the power of your works and given them the lands of the nations.
The works of your hands are faithfulness and justice. All your commandments are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, because they are done in truth and equity.
You send redemption to your people, your commandment, your covenant forever. You command your covenant prayer. Holy and awesome is your name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who ask
We changed readings this morning. This is a reading from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God at all times, and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, this is us.
All right. I come looking like an airline pilot.
How about that?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me out? There we go. Perfect. Does anyone have index cards that were not collected? Jim will come around. Poor Jim didn't know he was going to do this, but he is now. Jim, you kind of have an idea now of what it's like to grow up as a Nesbitt. Oh, surprise, you're going to do this now. My father would sign me up for things. I'd be like, I am? Okay. All right. Up, Thomas. I'll start at the top. You ready? I'm going to try to do all these. Somehow there's an envelope in here, too. I'm not sure how that one happened, but we'll see. Maybe there's money in it.
It
says, how can this congregation faithfully support you on your vacation? I did not write any of these, I am telling you right now. Pray for me. Pray for each other. Pray for our sister churches, for Second Congregational, for First United Methodist, Church of the Atonement, Southwick Congregational. Keep us in prayer and pray for each other. We've come such a long way. So, I mean, not that you were by any means low before I, it's not all big, well, before I came here, this place was terrible. No. But we've done so many wonderful things together. So keep praying for each other. Keep staying involved. Come on in, have a seat. Can my volume go up a little? Yes. All right. That one's gone.
Oh, wait, so should we call you?
No, you should not call me, email me, or anything. You know, so this is from the Reverend Dr. Chris Davies, who's joining us today.
Pray for good weather.
Pray for good weather. I'll be in Agawam, hopefully by 3 o'clock this afternoon, if all goes well. So yes, absolutely pray for good weather. And just pray that I get some rest. That's what I really want more than anything else. How does a person stay connected to God when so many things interfere with finding time and energy to focus on Christ's love and directions for our lives? I would say this, because here's what I have to do to make that happen for me. Is I have to be intentional about it. Which means I have to almost schedule it in. Because things kind of come at me. From the moment that I look at my phone during breakfast. And that's when I start answering emails at home. Alright? So if I don't put the phone down. And if I don't do that. I have to be very, very intentional about that. So that's what I would say. Pick a time, and Be honest about it. Start with 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes a day. Then every week, increase it by 5 minutes. And if you miss the time at the end of the day, you realize, oh, I didn't do it. Do it then. And don't beat yourself up for it. Just start again the next day. Every day is a new day. What's your inspiration for your sermons? I do a couple of different things. So our services are planned out a month to 2 months in advance. So I know where the readings are going, what happened, why we're doing this, and why we're doing the readings that we're doing. So what I do is I take a look at the readings, especially the gospel reading, and I ask myself a couple of questions. Number one, I remind myself, know how I've done things like, what's the theme of Mark's gospel? What's the theme of Matthew's gospel, Luke's gospel? I remind myself of the theme. I remind myself of the original audience, why this particular gospel was written, what it means for the people who were there, and then I go and do my research from that. I start with what I know, then I have to find out what I don't know, and then I try to craft something that makes sense for all of us, myself included. Now, there are people here who also send me articles. There are people here who send a few things my way, which is awesome, so keep doing that. And I can try to do what I can for that. Granted, when I first came here and first started preaching, you heard a lot about me. But that was intentional, so that you could get to know me. And hopefully, you would share yourselves with me as well. Because that's how we come into relationship with each other, and that's how we build community. What is my quest? Whoa. All right. My quest, my spiritual quest, is to be in a great relationship with God. To continue to improve that every single day. That's my quest. And to follow the teachings of Jesus and to get it down. I keep joking and not joking about how we practice Christianity. And we have to practice it because we haven't quite gotten it right yet. Neither have I. I know I've said these to you before, but I don't know if you've ever heard me driving from here to Southwick on a Sunday morning when everybody's slowing down in front of the hash house. So, yeah, I need a few things. But that's my quest. My personal quest outside of spirituality is someday I'd like to retire, but not too soon. Don't worry, that's not coming. I'm too young. What do you see as a challenge in the city of Westfield, and how can First Congregational Church help? Well, I am glad you asked that one. We've been doing it. Our challenge is that those who are homeless, hungry, don't have enough clothes to wear, don't have the resources in Westfield. What this church can do to help is to continue to help out the Westfield Food Pantry. We host the Westfield Food Truck on Monday and Thursday. When it gets warm, when it's too warm for people to eat outside, and later in the fall when it's too cold, we're going to bring them in, and we're going to offer them our hospitality. What can this church do? Help. Be there. Be a welcomer, be a server, help us out so people aren't roaming too far throughout the building, but so that we can keep them. But we want people to feel our welcome. It's called extravagant hospitality, extravagant welcome. We want them to feel that way. Whether they walk in from the street on Sunday mornings, whether they're coming to the food truck, I have been blessed with that ministry to be able to go out and to, at least on Thursdays, I've been taking Monday off. But if you're around on a Monday, just go talk to people. And you can let them know you're from the church. Do you have any questions? So the only thing they usually really want sometimes is a bag to put things in. So if you have a bag, bring a few bags. So if you can do that on Mondays, that's great. But we're going to, I mean, our thrift shop has done outstanding work with our neighbors in recognizing who needs what we can do to help them. Our missions committee does all kinds of things. So when Ray or somebody else from the missions committee gets up and speaks to us, pay attention, because that's how our church can help our neighbors in the city of Westfield. What is your favorite Bible story, verse, and why? Oh, I've got a couple. First of all, the call of Samuel. Even though I'm not so young anymore, I still like it. I love that. I've shared with you before, this is the biggest surprise of my life, that I am doing this. I've done all kinds of things. I taught. I was principal. I worked in human resources at Home Depot, of all places. We're on a good day. I can tell you the difference between a Phillips head and a flathead screwdriver. But there I was. But that call of Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I love the story of Martha and Mary. I tend to be more like Martha. I'm a doer. So I tend to be more like Martha and getting caught up in the details of what's happening, instead of stopping and listening to God, listening to Jesus in my life. Like Mary, I stop, I forget to do that. So that one comes through a lot. So I think those are probably the two favorite, along with the Magnificat. My soul declares the greatness of the Lord. Mary's response to Elizabeth has always been in there. And then one more out of the Gospel of John. Mary says to the servants at that wedding feast in Cana, do whatever he tells you. When I left the Marianist brothers, the superior said to me, I can't speak to poverty and chastity for you, but dang, he said, you did everything we asked you to do. I attribute that to speak, Lord, your servants listen, do whatever he tells you, to those couple of verses that are there. So those are my favorites. Would you like to be a full-time minister at First Congregational if possible? Yes. There's more to come with that. Thank you. Oh, it says you made this church a better, kinder, and happier place for all. Well, I certainly didn't do it alone. You all do that with me. But thank you so much. Not a question, but I want you to know that I enjoy coming to church and listening to your sermons. Thank you. I'm sorry that you're getting this today, then. What happens when we die? Whoa! Well, I know. That could be a whole adult education sermon thing. But let me give you the down and dirty quick version that I think I have. Biologically, our body does break down, but they inject us with all kinds of things unless we're cremated. FYI, plan to be cremated. I plan to be cremated. I simply ask that they confirm that I'm truly dead before they put me in the fire. But as far as my soul and spiritually, I believe that there is an afterlife and that it's with God. I truly believe that. I certainly hope, and you're going to make me cry. But I better see my mother when this is over. I haven't seen her for 28 years, so I'm hoping. I pray. Oh, yeah, I want to see my dog, but that's what I'm going to be. So I believe that we go to heaven. I believe we go to heaven regardless. God's love, that unconditional love that we've talked so much about, I firmly believe that that's how we all get to heaven. God loves us no matter what. Beyond our comprehension. Beyond anything that we can fathom. When did you realize you wanted to be a pastor? I think I've shared this with you. I was the director of Family Ministries and Faith Formation at Wilbraham United Church. And we had an interim minister come in, spent 2 weeks, came into my office at Wilbraham United, closed the door, and invited me to sit down. She looked, I thought I was being fired. Because they just cleared out, lots of times interns come in, the church wants to go in a different direction. You've done a nice job, but we want to go a different way. The church has decided they want to go a different way. No, she said to me, you tell me why you're not ordained. I said, really? I said, you've only been here for a couple of weeks. I said, I knew she was staying for 2 years. I said, ask me in a year. I want you to watch me for a year. And then she only, 6 months later, she put the paperwork down and she said, fill it out. So, that's how I was raised Catholic. I had studied in the seminary to be a diocesan priest. I was a Marianist brother. I was principal of a Catholic school. Things changed when I met Mark. When I met my husband, that whole side of my world kind of crashed. And I went and taught in the public schools for the first time in my life. I didn't know where I was going to go to church. He's like, well, come to Wilbraham United. The choir is good anyway. Come listen to what the choir is doing this week. And all of a sudden, I was hooked. So, me being pastor of any UCC, NAACC, any congregational church is a big, giant surprise. This, I thought Home Depot was the biggest surprise of my life. This is the bigger surprise that I'm doing this. So, to answer your question, about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, I knew I wanted to do something in church. I always knew that. What is the best way to hear God speak to the multitudes? I think it's finding that quiet spot and listening. And paying attention to what's going on around you. Us. All right? Because I always include myself in these things. You, please, you need to know any sermon that I give, I need to hear it too. I'm not like just preaching to you and preaching to me as well. But I still think that we need to find ourselves a quiet spot and to make sure that we listen. Not just, you know, for the voice from above, but God will speak to us from each other. Hey, have you considered, why aren't you ordained? Hey, you are somebody who could come and do blank. That's how I think we hear God. To the multitude, I think the multitude, sometimes we have quiet time in church. We take a few moments, sometimes to settle ourselves, but also to listen. We do that as well. How can we help the congregation grow the youth participation without scaring the old regime and getting their help to and their buy-in to growing our youth? Well, number one, I think we're doing it. We're giving it the old college try anyway. Any church school that's gone from one kid to 15 kids in 1 year can't, you know, you grew your church school by 1,400%. It's a good thing. It's coming. So we need to keep that up. Again, it's being opening and welcoming to anybody, anything, new families that come in, to make sure that we have a great Sunday school program, church school program, and that we continue to have activities that will bring families in. We need to keep bringing people into our doors. We talked about that at the church council meeting. Yes, we let community members in. We bring people in so they can experience our hospitality. We have people in this church right now who experience that, and that's why they're coming. We have to keep that up, so keep up the good work. That will do it. The old regime, I think the old regime wants kids. We want children to be in our church. They support things. Usually anything for the kids, they'll support. That's been my experience. So I'm hoping that'll do it. What is your least favorite part of Sunday morning? I've got two. Number one, getting up. That's because I get up early on Sundays. I get up earlier than I normally do. That's the first thing. I love sleep. But getting up is my least favorite part is I don't get to do coffee hour here by and large. And I have to leave. That hurts. That's kind of tough on me. And I don't feel like I get to know you very well. Consequently, out in Southwick, I don't get to spend time with them. I get to spend time with you before church. I see them afterwards, but I don't get to have some of those critical conversations with some of the Southwick members. So I think the fact that I have to do the mad dash. So the fun thing will be September 15th when there is no mad dash. With this. All 11, there's 11 churches coming, by the way. It's awesome. And Methodist, Episcopal, a congregational church out there that's not part of the UCC is coming. I'm like, all right, this is good. So anyway, so I think that's really the least favorite part of my Sundays that I have to take off. Ask the pastor, why does God give us challenges to test how strong we are? We don't know. We simply don't know. Man, I wish I knew the answer to. This is the one I wish I knew the answer to. This could be the least favorite part of this Sunday. But to make us stronger, because they don't always necessarily make us stronger. So, what makes us, whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger. No, not usually. Sometimes it can depress us. Sometimes it can throw us into a tailspin. Some challenges, I think, allow others to minister and put them in a different spot and allow others to help us. And it's a reminder to us that we are not meant to do things alone. We are meant to rely not only on God, but on our church community, our neighbors. Linda can tell you that. I don't know if you come from strong neighborhoods. I grew up in a phenomenal neighborhood where that stuff happened all the time. Some of you have those as well, or you have your friends, you have your families. People who watch and who are part of you, if you're in a challenging situation, allow for help. Don't be afraid to ask for it. It's humbling. It truly is. I should be able to do this alone. Why am I being challenged? Well, maybe you're giving somebody another chance for ministry. Think about that. What is an instrument you wish you could play? I wish I knew more than a G chord on the guitar. I wish that I was proficient in piano and organ. I dabble. I would never deign to play in front of Scott Bailey or Alan Taylor or Janet St. Jean or, quite frankly, any of you, except for my version of Old McDonald's on the piano. So, or as I call it at home, variations on Old McDonald's. So you get some of those. So I wish I could do that. When I went to school, my schools didn't have a music program. So I missed it. I just totally missed out on all that. The only instrument I think I have I know I can carry a tune. So people have asked me to sing. So no one has said to me, please don't. At least not yet. So as I get older, that could happen. I know who this one is. Will you be here when Lisa is arranging my funeral? I certainly hope so. So I hope that you don't go too soon. All right, we're going to touch quickly on this one because there's more coming. How do we become an open and affirming congregation? We are going to hear more about that this fall. Can I leave it with that? We are going to hear and to start, we're going to start a conversation. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen, but we're going to start a conversation about it. It was not my idea. That was an idea of the leadership in this church, to at least have the conversation. And if we decide that it's not the best avenue for us to go, that'll be, so be it. But we'll start that conversation. That's how you start. That's how do we become? We talk about it first. We talk about why is it important, why is it not important, what happens, etc., and so on. All right. What are the plans for fall schedule, including new members? Oh, we hope to welcome new members in November. Because September is such a mess. I'm not here. I'm here. We're going to Stanley Park. We're back. Southwick's coming. So all these, so that's September for you. I just did the quick version of the five Sundays in September. There will be adult education. Church school will start. We have plans for pasta with the pastor. We're going to have a dinner. Just come and eat. We are going to have some sort of adult education before Advent that will start. Those are the plans right now for the fall, and more activities for our young people. I answered this one, what inspired you to serve God? I hope I answered that already. Jack saying I did. What do you miss about being a classroom teacher? Not much anymore. However, we do things here. You are all involved in my favorite things that I used to do when I taught. So when I ask you a question, and I ask you to turn and think to somebody, and turn and to share with somebody, and then I grab the cordless mic and we all share together. That's called think, share, pair, by the way, in the educational world. But I started doing that with the Marianists, taught me how to do that. They do that a lot. And then come to find out that it became a classroom thing too. So we do some of that. And when you answer me sometimes, that kind of brings, I'm like, all right, that's enough, I'm good. If I put a bulletin board together, you'll know I'm missing school. So I like to put bulletin, that's my creativity in me. We have two more. What is your favorite depiction of a minister in a movie or on television? Haven't ever really thought too much about it. There's a little bit of Father O'Malley in me from the Bells of St. Mary's and Going My Way. There's a little bit of that. That's because I was raised an Irish Catholic. So I know that there's a little bit of that. Believe it or not, my best role models were women. The women really were the ones who showed me, A, how to live in community, how to love your neighbor, how to do all kinds of things. Is it the Bishop of Dibley? Is she on there? That's another one. I'm going to pay attention going forward to that. Our last one's a statement, and this went a little longer. I'm so sorry. Life is full of twists and turns. The fact that you and I were both raised as Catholic and now we are here at First Congregational Church is awesome. I bless the day. Oh, Jim, thank you. I bless the day I met you. Likewise. So I think that's everything. Hopefully I answered everything to the best that we could. So thank you. Chris, they don't usually apply.
Absolutely, I hear that all the time. Let's take a moment here of reflection. This morning, we are ever mindful of our joys and concerns as are listed in our worship guide. We pray for our country. We pray for members and friends of our congregation, for Armin, Jonathan, Barbara, Ann, Jeff and Jeff, Dave, Heidi, Kathy, Marilyn, Leslie, Tom, Jean, Olivia, Susan, Betty, Mark, Bruce, Alan, Jody, Geneva, Janet, Kelly, Bill, Stephen, Lynn, and Pete. We remember our friends in senior care facilities for Nancy, Joan, Betty, Bob, and Leslie. We celebrate over 80 birthdays, and today is Merritt's birthday. Happy birthday, Merritt. And of course, we remember all of those prayers and intentions that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. May God be with you.
And also with you.
Please pray with me. Blessed are you, O God, creator of the universe and giver of all good gifts to your children. You are great and are to be lifted high in praise. You are God, high and holy, above us and above all creation. On this rainy, warm summer morning, we thank you that you have not forgotten us, not abandoned us, and not rejected us, despite all that speaks against us. In your own dear Son, Jesus the Christ, you have given us nothing less than yourself and all that is yours. This morning we bring to you all that troubles us, our mistakes and sins, our sorrows and cares, rebellion and bitterness, and our whole heart and life, better known to you than to ourselves. We commit all this into your faithful hands. We pray that you take us as we are, strengthen us when we are weak, and help us be responsible with the bounties of your blessings. O God, let your loving kindness shine upon us and all whom we love. Shine upon those who are suffering, upon those who are sick, and upon those who have experienced grief and loss. In this year of national elections, let your justice swell down upon our nation's government and upon the nations of power around the world. May we all learn to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you. Let your peace become primary among the leaders of the world. Give us all wisdom and insight so that we too become instruments of your love and peace. Give us all a clear and courageous witness so that we may stand firm in our faith and not cower in the face of adversity. Loving God, open our hearts and our understandings so that we can respond to your children in our city and in the world, those who are hungry, who are homeless, and who are lonely. Open our hearts and understanding so that we can respond to your children in our city and around the world who are up and out, who feel no need to trust your grace, and who are lost in their arrogance. Create in us a true spirit of humility and grace. Give to us and to all who worship you this day what we need to become all you have created us to be. We offer ourselves to you in the same spirit in which you have offered yourselves to us. And this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. God's beautiful creation overflows with water, sunlight, and the rich, dark soil to grow our food. When we share the fruits of this earth, there is more than enough for all. There is a table of plenty set by a God who loves every one of us. At this table, all are fed, and still there are gifts overflowing into the world God loves. Our giving supports this ministry that God is growing stronger each day. Let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. And with this, our morning offering will be received. these offerings, we pray, that through them we may do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you, our Sovereign and our God. Amen. Before we have our closing hymn, I'd like to offer a word of thanks to Nick, our reader, Brave Nick. Thank you very much this morning. And to welcome Scott Bailey back and thank him for his wonderful music. And thanks to all of you this morning. Chris, did you want to say anything? No, she just wanted to be quiet and worship and take the day off is what she wanted. Our closing hymn this morning, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, is number 422. God's name, and glorify God in all you do. Amen.